Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and this week we pay tribute to the legendary Kyle Busch, who lost his life at the tender age of 41. Kyle Nuss joins us to talk a little bit about the legacy. And then we turn it over to Neil Sika, our soccer guru, to talk about the Columbus Crew and all the changes that have been going on in that organization and also FC Cincinnati and all of their trials and tribulations leading into the FIFA World Cup. That plus our Locked On regulars have news on all the balls coming up next on the Ohio News Network. The world of sports suffered a major loss 10 years ago with the unexpected early death of NASCAR phenomenon Kyle Busch. And who better than our own Kyle Nuss to come in and talk about Kyle Busch? So it's Kyle on Kyle today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm stunned. So we have a victory on the 15th of May, and he gets out of the vehicle, and he starts coughing up blood. And we didn't know what was wrong with him. We just knew that he went to the hospital, and he had a quote-unquote severe illness. Turns out this guy had walking pneumonia so bad it became septic, and it killed him.
Let's just say it was shocking to a lot of us. I mean, when I heard the news on, it would have been Thursday, this past Thursday, I just didn't believe it. I don't think anyone did. 'Cause with just how the news happened, I had to call my dad and just be like, hey, Kyle Busch died.
Yeah.
It's something that no one really saw coming.
No, you don't expect something like that. I mean, when you think about deaths of major sports figures, you know, you think about the Los Angeles Lakers.
Kobe
Bryant. That was a shock. Going all the way back to my childhood, Thurman Munson, mm-hmm. the New York Yankees catcher who died, you know, for music. Elvis Presley, Prince, Michael Jackson. I mean, this falls in that category.
Well, and on top of it, NASCAR's sadly kind of used to this, because back in 2001, Dale Earnhardt.
Yes.
His tragic death, and very quickly, you know, that sent shockwaves through
the sport. But that was on the track, though, right?
Oh, it was on the track, but it still was a shock to the sport.
Absolutely.
Just like Kyle Busch. And there's actually a correlation, because Kyle Busch races for Richard Childress, Dale Earnhardt raced for Richard Childress at the time.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, Kyle Busch, he had a couple of nicknames.
Rowdy.
Yeah, Rowdy. What was another one? Was it like Young Gun or Maverick or something like that?
Maverick was one of them, yes. Yeah. But it was more Rowdy. Rowdy Nation was one of his big taglines. One
Absolutely.
Of his big fan clubs. Kyle Busch, he was one of the best in NASCAR.
What made him so good? I mean, you know, yeah, he's got a wall full of trophies, but, you know, when you think about the great drivers, and obviously you're going to put him up there with Bobby Rahal and Al Unser Jr. and A.J. Foyt going back in time, what made him so unique?
What made Kyle Busch so unique is that he had an attitude about him, and he owned it.
Yeah.
He owned everything he did.
He drove the track like no one else was on it.
Mm-hmm. He won, and I quote, 234 wins throughout his entire NASCAR career.
Now, is that the
that
most
is the
for
number
someone
one
that total?
Is the, yep.
So not even just someone of his age.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most wins.
Yep, most wins in all of NASCAR combined, all the series together.
So imagine if, let's say, he had raced into his 50s, which is about when most race car drivers move slowly out of the field.
Mm-hmm.
He probably could have won another 100 races. Easy.
I think he probably could have won another, I would say 50, because over the last two seasons, it's been a struggle for Kyle Busch. He started So he joined Richard Childress Racing back in 2023 after a long stint at Joe Gibbs Racing from 2008 to 2022,
right.
Where he was the most successful. The M&M's car, that's his iconic sponsorship. But over the last 2 years, it's been kind of a struggle. He hasn't won many races. His performance was down. But the thing is that it looked like there was a turning point coming up. Over the last 2 weeks of performance, he was like top 10 finishes. His speed was up. Everything was looking up. And I think that's another thing that fans are struggling to deal with, is that it looked like we were going to see the resurgence of Kyle Busch.
Now, he has a brother, Kurt Busch.
Yes.
Is Kurt still racing?
So, Kurt, sadly, is not racing. He had to retire. He took a bad wreck at Pocono about 3 years ago. And, sadly, he just had to retire because of it.
So, what do you think the Busch legacy is going to be? How will he be remembered?
It's complicated to me, and not complicated in a bad way, but more in the sense that he was a no-nonsense driver who he definitely had enemies on the track, but off the track, he was loved. He had a lot of fans. He had a lot of people within the NASCAR community that he matured over time. In watching that arc, really showcases like who Kyle Busch became and where he started.
Now, you've seen him race.
Yes.
I've seen him race. When was the last time you saw him?
I actually saw him 2 weeks ago at Watkins Glen International.
Oh, my.
Yes. It's funny because I was working that race, and in the media center, they did mention that, oh, yeah, he asked for a doctor, you know, with 10 laps to go, but no one really thought of anything because, well, you know, it's Kyle Busch. He's going to finish the race. He's just going to get a shot at the end. No, nothing major. No big deal.
Right. And that wasn't the case.
He was even signing autographs that day.
Yeah.
It's just stunning.
Well, we are here on Ohio Sports Magazine remembering the greatness that was Kyle Busch, and I know that in the annals of NASCAR and just auto racing history in general, he will forever be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to thank Kyle Nuss for coming in to share his thoughts, and we want to thank you for joining us in remembering Kyle Busch. And there's more Ohio Sports Magazine on the other side of the track when we come back on the Ohio News Network.
We have two important rules here at the radio station: adhering to proper broadcasting standards and absolutely no deucing in the hallway bathroom. The Fan. The Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. TheWaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan. Get everything. There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Soccer guru Neil Sika joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine to talk about the Columbus Crew and the wild ride of a season it's been so far. Good morning, sir.
Jay, it is unbelievable that we're already, I guess you would call it, the midpoint going into this World Cup break. And a wild 15 games for both Columbus and FC Cincinnati.
Let's start with the Crew and the coaching change. What happened to necessitate a early mid-season change, and what impact has it made on the team's performance?
I think there were multiple factors into this, and I don't think that Henrik Rudström is a bad coach. He's had a lot of success. It seemed like there's going to be a pretty good fit. Every conversation, a thorough one, whether you were in the media, said all the right things. Issa Tall, the general manager, basically raised his hand and said, look, we we made a mistake. And I think it was something that was permeating within the culture, outside of the results on the field. They went away from the comfort zone of how they'd played the last 3 years under Wilfred Nancy. Now, that's not to say that they don't need to facilitate perhaps some personnel moves. This guy didn't even get a transfer window, Henrik Rydström, to deal with and maybe bring in his players the way that he saw fit for this team to grow. But I think there's just been such a level of success, or at least a thought level of success, the way they played under Wilfred Nancy. Now, that's not to say, again, that there weren't hiccups over the last couple of years going out in the first round of the playoffs. But I think the players felt they were a little out of their comfort zone. I think maybe there was a disconnect starting to form with the coaching staff, and maybe that message getting through, and the run of results leading in here before the World Cup break with a chance to, one, make a U.S. Open Cup final, and to get things right heading into the back half of the league season, were the two big reasons why, or the two or three big reasons why they decided that now was the time to cut bait.
Now, the new guy was the assistant, correct?
Laurent Courtois, who was in Columbus actually coaching the development team, Columbus Crew 2, in 2022, and led them to a championship. They played a similar way. Then he was assistant for Wilfred Nancy, went off and had his own head coaching job in Montreal, and now coming back and was part of this staff.
Now, a former Crew general manager is also now stepping back in as president of global soccer. What does that entail?
Tim Bezbatchenko is arguably one of the finest executives in MLS history. And he's Columbus's own. He built the Crew into, obviously, a winner, capturing a couple of MLS Cups. And then to go off to the European theater and manage a few different clubs, AFC Bournemouth, a part of that fabric with Black Knight Football. I think the part of him wanting to see his family and his children go to school in the States at the time was right to maybe come back for a move, buoyed by the effect of the National Women's Soccer League being acquired by the Haslam Sports Group. So you're going to have two soccer clubs to operate. And this is the guy who has shined through and through and really hasn't put a foot wrong. And I think for him to come back, not only for that aspect of it, but to have another sense of stability and the Crew being in good hands with leadership that has carried them to the promised land before, I think it was a no-brainer.
Is he going to take an immediate active role in fixing what's wrong with this season's Crew?
I don't think so. I think this is still Issa Tall's team. He believes in Issa. Issa was his right-hand man as the general manager, or the second-in-command when he was at the top of the Crew food chain. And I think for Columbus now, this is much like everyone's asking, would they go back to Wilfred Nancy? Well, Wilfred Nancy has aspirations still to coach in Europe. I think they want to still build this thing organically. And I think the player's comfort getting back to Laurent Courtois, who didn't have the pieces necessarily or the support in Montreal, so it was never going to be a long sustained success there for him, to come back now to Columbus where he's comfortable. And I think the players, now they can start with the basis of heading into the second half of the season. That was a big win against Atlanta United to close it out. But I still think they need pieces along the spine of their team. A ball hawking, a ball winning center back, a midfielder with a little bit of teeth. And with losing Wesam Abu Ali, their big forward up top, that's an answer still that you're going to have to look for more supplemental scoring and pieces that work with Diego Rossi in the attack.
So the Crew, as of this taping, remains dead last in their conference. What are some of the specific things besides what you've already mentioned that they need to do to climb out of the cellar? And are there any more trades forthcoming?
Well, just a quick recorrection. They are not dead last in the Eastern Conference. They're, I believe, 12th or 13th entering the break. But either way, I think that those moves that I were just referencing along the middle of the field, the spine of the team, when you get someone to help with the attack, you have a little bit of allocation money to play with. I don't know if there'll be a trade maybe in the works, but you've got 2 months to figure this out, basically a second preseason to bring in some of the personnel. I don't think they defend their penalty area still. expertly. So that's another part of where they have to get better. It's been a thing that's been a problem for them the last couple of years. So I think more defensive help could be in the cards for this team as they work their way out of where they're sitting right now in the Eastern Conference. And to fully amend that, they're 10th place. So they're just below the playoff line on 16 points. It's been an underachieving performance. And then I think if you're the fans, you have to question or ask what should be the expectations for this team? Are they a playoff team? Are they a top four team in the East? I think the Crew need to figure that out because I think there's enough pieces there to win and to be a playoff team, but it's a measure of where they can actually go when it comes to the playoffs.
And that's several months down the road, correct?
Correct. We've got it seems it's going to be like 30 games in 2 months once the World Cup break resumes from action on July 22nd, going all the way into the end of the regular season in October, and then a month and a half for the playoffs.
Boy, howdy, that's a long haul. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Neil as we travel south down 71 to Cincinnati. Ohio Sports Magazine continues next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Is it time to renew your Medicaid coverage? Don't miss out. When you renew your AmeriHealth Caritas Ohio benefits on time, you keep more than just your health care. You keep your extra perks, too. That means doctor visits, dental, vision, plus extra benefits like school supply funds, baby essentials, rewards for health trivia games, and more. Don't risk losing the coverage and extras your family counts on. Visit AmeriHealthCaritasOH.com/renew today. That's AmeriHealthCaritasOH.com/renew.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Hey folks, it's game day and the betting's gonna be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right, you gotta pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Planning to buy a home in 2026? Not sure where to start? The Ohio Housing Finance Agency can help. With a step-by-step homebuyer's guide and financial tools, the Ohio Housing Finance Agency can make homeownership part of your future. Eligible homebuyers may qualify for down payment assistance and reduced mortgage interest rates. To see if you qualify and to find a mortgage lender, visit myohiohome.org.
Feeling stressed or overwhelmed? Not sure how to get the mental health help you need? We've got your back. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442. We'll help you figure out what mental health benefits may be in your health plan. No more confusion, just the support you deserve. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We're back with Neil Sika, and now we need to talk about FC Cincy. These two teams, the Crew and FC Cincy, were battling it out last year for dominance. This year, both teams are having kind of a rough season. Cincinnati just 4 points ahead of the Crew. What is going on with the mediocrity in the Queen City?
five for a dollar. Can I interest you, Jay? five and five. This record for Cincinnati, it was a really wobbly start when they lost four of their first six games. I don't think the level of how they've conceded goals, which has been their biggest problem, and there have been some injuries with that, but you've got Miles Robinson, who's going to be in the World Cup mix, who was supposed to be leading that defense. He hasn't necessarily had the best club season so far, and they've been easy to break down, compounded by the fact that it was a slow start for their best player in Evander, who can get you, or seemingly last year got you goals and assists at the drop of a hat. Now, the good thing is, since May, he's been on fire and arguably the player of the month going into this World Cup break.
Dude, just look at that Orlando City performance with two goals and three assists.
For sure. A masterful job and coming off the reigning player of the week. And then getting Danke and a player like Mboma Dembele to kind of help. So now you've got three guys that are feeling comfortable in their goal contributions. But Evander can win your game at any point. That was the problem, though, I think, for Cincinnati on the whole last year. They relied so much on him controlling games, or at least punishing teams that they should have when they were games that were a lot closer between the margins, maybe one goal games when they could have comfortably won two and three ahead. I think they're finding the goal scoring touch now, but they really need to shore it up at the back. If you're looking at the last three games alone, they've given up 10 goals. You go further than that and go five games, 14 goals allowed over the last five games. That's almost three goals a game. So it's not going to fly when it comes to push and shove down at the back half of the season. The bright thing for Cincinnati, too, as they can correct this, and this is the beauty of every team, there's some quandary, right, heading into the World Cup break. They can maybe work on that defensive element, add a piece or two, get some guys healthy, and then get back to maybe what everyone thought they could be. The Eastern Conference, no one by large outside of Nashville and Miami, I think every other spot from three down, three through nine, is up for grabs. I don't think we've seen the conviction of the Eastern Conference teams like we did in 2025. And that's where, if you're looking at Cincinnati, a lot of pundits, if you will, might think that they've got what it takes with their personnel, especially in the attack, that could have a big second half rise.
So if Evander's renewed performance is a turning point for the team and they're starting to hit their stride, is this World Cup break going to take the wind out of their sails, or do they really need it to regroup?
You know, it's a great question, and I think a lot of teams that are playing well wonder, well, we have all this momentum, and you're basically stopping the season, and you're going to recalibrate it all when it comes out in 2 months. So how do you approach that if you're Pat Noonan? I think the rest is needed in some cases because of some of the injuries they've had along the back line. And I don't think they've necessarily, even though they've won some of these wild and crazy games, it's a figuring out of the plan where how can we be more stable in the back where we're not conceding as much. So I think it could be a good work in progress, despite the managing of the fact that they got this Orlando City win. They still hadn't, this was their first win in four games. They had a couple of draws. Sure, they picked up a couple of wins on the back half of April and May, and they're not losing as much as they were in the first six games of the season. But I definitely think there's room for improvement. And then the same goes for Columbus. You thought that Henrik Rudstrom was going to get, he didn't necessarily have a preseason with the club. Now you're essentially giving the preseason to Laurent Courtois. So that's really the fascinating element, because next year we're going to this sprint season before the calendar flips and does it over the 27-28 year, and you're going to have 15 games to play, and this was a preview of that. And now we're going to get a good indication of how teams come out with their second part and what pieces are going to come into the league, maybe some of the big names that are going to be added for depth or firepower for a championship run, and how teams that maybe played really well in this first half, can they continue that on in the second portion of what should be just up against the wall type of soccer viewing for the American fan after the World Cup.
Given how both of these teams have played so far this season, what are the predictions for this year's Hell is Real match?
Well, the way the Crew are getting back to what they're doing and the way Cincinnati's conceding, I wouldn't put it past anyone to say we could have a six-goal thriller in that first game come July 25th, Columbus hosting out of the break. And then you've got the Hell is Real that comes back in October in the back half of the season. But we're going to get a really good indicator right off the bat just how competitive it will be just two games in out of the World Cup break. And FC Cincinnati has a really tough schedule to come right out those first three games. Vancouver's been one of the best teams in Major League Soccer in the West. San Jose, which has lost two of their biggest players with injury, but they've been one of the top stories in the league the way they started the first 10 games. Those are the first three opponents for FC Cincinnati: Columbus, Vancouver, and San Jose. So this is where you have to hit the ground running coming out of that break if you're certain teams with aspirations of being better than what you were in the first half. But I think Hell is Real is going to bring a lot of fireworks.
Am I correct in hearing you that you think there will be less roster movement with FC Cincinnati than there will be with the Crew?
I think that's a fair assumption right now. I think just because of the injuries that FC Cincinnati have had to deal with along the back. But that doesn't mean that they can't add a piece in the midfield to help slow things down. I think that's also a big part of why things have broken down to keep control of the games in midfield. They've been playing a young player in Dado Valenzuela back there as a deep-lying playmaker. I think just having some support within the fabric of the middle of the pitch will serve them well. But I would think Columbus is more likely to go out and add some pieces compared to Cincinnati.
It has been a fascinating season so far, and we will revisit with you to break down the results of the FIFA World Cup and get back into the season. But for now, we want to thank Neil Sikif for being our guest. And there is more Ohio Sports Magazine on the other side of the pitch when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan.
Common Man.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
It's going to be another beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine. Winds should be much lighter with mostly sunny skies and a high of 79. Tonight we turn mainly clear with a low of 54. And Monday, our beautiful weather continues with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Ashley Smith on 97.1 The Fan.
A lot of hosts. This is ONN.
The 110th running of the Indianapolis 500 was held over Memorial Day weekend. More than 350,000 people descended upon Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Felix Rosenquist won the race by the smallest margin in history. The 34-year-old Rosenquist drives for Myers Shank Racing, located east of Columbus in Pataskala. Tim May covers Ohio State football. He's written about the Buckeyes since the 1970s for the Columbus Dispatch. His other hobby is motorsports, IndyCar specifically. And before the 2026 Indy 500, Tim picked Rosenquist to win in an appearance on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus. Tim also famously called the boxing upset of James Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson back in 1990 in Tokyo, Japan. Tim joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on WBNS-FM and says picking Felix to win the Indy 500 was pretty simple.
Anybody could see the Rosenquist thing coming because he had the fastest car on the lot for like 2 weeks, and just one bobble in qualifying on the run for the pole, or he'd have probably been on the pole. So I was betting on the fastest horse in the race. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Buster Douglas, I was an embedded reporter in that regard because I could see how great a shape he was in and how Mike Tyson was not. You know what I mean? And
when did you make that prediction? Was that in Tokyo or was that?
I wrote the story.
You got your eyes on Tyson?
Oh yeah. A couple 3 days. I mean, I went over there when like John Johnson the second, or you know, everybody calls him Junior, but John Johnson second, everybody else went over there. I mean, John Johnson, his manager, and Buster went over there like a week and a half ahead of time or so they could acclimate, so to speak. And but no, you could see Buster was in the greatest shape of his life. I mean, the problem is he had lost his mom, and you don't know how that was going to change his focus one way or the other. You know, right at a month or so before the fight happened, which was a shock. But yeah, Bo, real quick, great anecdote. So I'm sitting there ringside, mm-hmm. about an hour and a half after the fight was over, and we'd had the press conference where actually two sports writers had gotten into a fight about it. One guy was a big shill for Don King and stuff, and they were already trying to get the thing reversed because of the, quote, long count, end quote, in the eighth round when Buster let his guard down one time and it almost cost him. That's what fighting Mike Tyson was all about, right? Mm-hmm. He could knock you out with one punch. But anyway, long story short, I had been on Japanese radio television, few reporters, because nobody knew who Buster was, and I had predicted the same thing before the fight. I look up and I'm sitting there typing. I'm the only guy almost ringside there at an hour and a half after the fight, and there's this Japanese TV reporter I remembered from earlier in the day. That's why I like all you TV guys, by the way. As soon as I look up and make eye contact with him, he starts bowing to me. He goes, "You're Tim May. You pick Douglas. You pick winner." And I went, "Oh, man, whatever." And then he said, he pulled out a card and slapped his card down next to my my little Telegram computer, you know, goes, "Later, you, me, we drink." I said, "Well, I appreciate it, but man, I'm on deadline here."
What was it like having your job in the late 80s in Columbus, Ohio, that you were covering Ohio State football as a beat guy? You were embedded with Bobby Rahal and Jim Truman as they were trying to win an Indy 500. I believe they had a parade after they did it. It had to be a big damn deal in town. And then you were embedded with Buster Douglas as he pulls off the most improbable upset maybe in the history of sports.
Well, here's what bummed me out a little bit. Not bummed me out, but what got me on those is we had a motorsports editor at the Dispatch who didn't really want to cover anything. And so I said, "Well, I'll go to the Indy 500. I actually covered Bobby's first win in Cleveland in 1982 when he wanted to, you know, Cleveland Burke Lakefront Airport up there. Mm-hmm. First race ever there. And I've always loved IndyCar. I've always loved Formula One. NASCAR, not so much. But I said, "I'll do it. I'll go to Indy and cover Indianapolis." And several of those years, it was driving back and forth almost every day, mm-hmm. which was, by the way, a pain. But I just put myself, because I really liked Indy cars. You know what I mean? I got to know Al Unser Sr. and, you know, Johnny Rutherford and all these guys. I mean, Johnny Rutherford was Big Tex from Texas, where mm-hmm. I grew up. And anyway, so I just did it because no one else seemed to want to do it. And same thing pretty much with boxing. And it gave me something to do during the off season when Ohio State wasn't playing, is the way I look. Because you didn't do a lot of this, you know, hocus pocus going on during the off season like there is now with college football and Ohio State football. Another remarkable coincidence is they both Felix Rosenquist and Bobby Rahal started from the number four spot on the grid. Because Bobby's sake, they had these Buick pushrod engines, which you were allowed to have more horsepower in, and mm-hmm. they kind of dominated qualifying there in the mid late 60s because they just had more power, but they didn't last in the races, right? And so I was kind of going on the odds there because Bobby, in my opinion, had the fastest car other than those cars, and he had a car that would finish. Yeah. So I picked him in the Indianapolis Star the day of the race. And he won, and the thing about it is, and then of course Buster, I wrote a column. You know, the thing I said about Buster in the column I wrote where I picked him was, you know, that is if he stays away from that right uppercut. Point was, they were, and Felix Rosenquist, all three of those had the best equipment going, so to speak, going into their big races or matches, and that's why I picked them. You know, it's like Ohio State. You know, everybody gives me a lot of grief sometimes because I pick Ohio State almost every time to mm-hmm. win the games. I go, "Well, I've got a pretty damn good record when you look at it." I remember me and Dom, man, we both picked Nebraska to win in, what was that, 2011?
Yeah.
So we're out there in Nebraska, and Ohio State is Braxton Miller and Ohio State are just kicking their butt, right? And at that time, and we're both in apoplexy, like, "What have we done?" You know, and then of course Braxton goes down, and Joe Bowersman goes in, and Nebraska with, I think it's still maybe Nebraska's greatest comeback victory.
It's probably
to win
Nebraska's
that game.
Best Big Ten
and so,
win.
Yeah, and so you're kind of relieved, you know, at the same time of like going, "Oh, too bad for Ohio State."
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Good news. Jack has personally invited the fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Last year we had...
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
This is ONN.
Well, with the Memorial Tournament coming up this coming next weekend at Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio, who better to talk to about it than Skip Mosick, the host of Tee to Green on our flagship station, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. Skip, let's begin with an easy one. Jack Nicklaus's presence, is that the big draw?
It has been for years, and to have an event like that not only be created by Jack Nicklaus 50 years ago, but have it to be to remain the iconic event that it is on the PGA Tour on a global stage year-round. After all these years, it's just incredible. And I always tell people, just enjoy him while we have him, because he's such a special person, greatest player in the world.
All right, thanks. You answered the second question I had. The next one, the place on the calendar, that's kind of been talked about, and it's changed a few times over the years. How do you see, Skip, where that fits right now?
I think that the event itself would always like to be around Memorial Day, just because that is the nature of the event, how they memorialize somebody, a player, a media member, that they do each and every year, which makes it so unique in and amongst itself. But even though changes are coming to the PGA Tour schedule, I think the Memorial Tournament will always be around Memorial Day. It's great for Central Ohio, knock on wood, where it normally is. It's when the weather starts to break, and you have a better opportunity for longer stretches of warmer weather, so to speak.
That hasn't always been the case.
No.
Tied to what you were just talking about, the honoree ceremony. I don't know, Skip, maybe you do. Do other tournaments do something like this? Or if they don't, is that what makes this stand by itself?
That is what makes it stand by itself, because they were the first to do it. They're the only one that does it every year like this, and I think it's terrific. It helps make the tournament stand out, because they do things that other tournaments do not do, and what a great tip of the cap for the folks that came up with this, Jack Nicklaus, the Pandel Savick, everybody else with the history of the Memorial Tournament, to come up with an idea to honor somebody, the greats of the past. And they've stretched it out as far as great journalists that have worked and covered the game for years as well. So it is what makes the tournament stand apart.
Skip, what about the course at Muirfield Village stands out and makes it special to you?
This time of year, it's the rough, Paul. It is no doubt. It's something that, again, Nicklaus designed it so many years ago. It's gone through a number of different restorations as far as changes here or there that will challenge the best players in the world. For those out there that aren't necessarily into golf to know what I'm saying, a Nicklaus designed course is always going to be what they say, a second shot golf course. So forgiving off the tee, but you have to be precise coming into the greens, and that's where he's going to get you, and that's what makes Muirfield Village play so difficult. And when you hear people talking about the rough this time of year, that's what it is. While he gives players a lot of room off the tee, if you miss the fairway, it's going to be at least a one-shot penalty.
Who are the golfers you get excited to see of the current vintage?
Right now, who doesn't like Scottie Scheffler? How can you not like the guy? He's good as far as everything he does, family guy. You can say all you want going back the last couple of years, the give and take between the PGA Tour, the guys that stayed, the guys that went to live. I think Rory McIlroy has kind of turned people soured a little bit by some of the things he's done and the way he's done them over the years, Paul. Not playing in this tournament last year without even a phone call to Jack Nicklaus to say, hey, you're the greatest ever, and I'm just going to skip your event this year with no notice. That doesn't go into saying. But you know, guys like Scheffler, some of the others that you've seen the last couple of weeks, good young players that have really stepped up their games. I mean, Siwoo Kim might be somebody that nobody's talking about that is playing maybe better than anybody in the world right now.
Jason Day is a Central Ohio resident. He has committed to play this year. Does that add a little something to it every time he plays?
It always does. But what's so funny, Paul, I mean, he's a member of Muirfield Village Golf Club. So everyone always says, well, Day has the advantage. He plays here all the time. That shows how difficult of a golf course that it is, even for the best in the world. I think, you know, with his ties to Central Ohio, he's always going to be a fan favorite in these parts anyways. But it's just a matter of, can he put everything together to get it done here? You do have the added pressure, obviously, of being from here, that you know you're going to get more attention leading up to and during the week as well.
There's a lot of ways to look at this, Skip, but this event in Central Ohio is a social event. Is that a draw? Is it a deterrent? Is it both? Is it something in between?
It's amazing how my attitude and views have changed over the years as we've gotten older. When I was a younger man, boy, it was a fun week, Paul, but it really is. It's great for the Central Ohio community, for the city of Dublin, where they're at. they have gone through recent, again, renovations and all of the things that have built up in and around the city of Dublin over the years. For folks that might be listening to this, that might be coming into town, check out, you know, the Bridge Park area that's relatively new here. And the tournament has, again, expanded out for some things after the golf down there. They call it Four Fest. And so there's lots of things happening for folks to do, even if you're not going to the tournament next week.
Skip Mossick, host of Tee to Green, thank you for your wisdom, Skip.
For Paul.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Planning to buy a home in 2026? Not sure where to start? The Ohio Housing Finance Agency can help. With a step-by-step homebuyer's guide and financial tools, the Ohio Housing Finance Agency can make homeownership part of your future. Eligible homebuyers may qualify for down payment assistance and reduced mortgage interest rates. To see if you qualify and to find a mortgage lender, visit myohiohome.org.
Hey, folks, it's game day, and the betting's going to be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right. You got to pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Is it time to renew your Medicaid coverage? Don't miss out. When you renew your AmeriHealth Caritas Ohio benefits on time, you keep more than just your health care. You keep your extra perks, too. That means doctor visits, dental, vision, plus extra benefits like school supply funds, baby essentials, rewards for health trivia games, and more. Don't risk losing the coverage and extras your family counts on. Visit AmeriHealthCaritasOH.com/renew today. That's AmeriHealthCaritasOH.com/renew.
Feeling stressed or overwhelmed? Not sure how to get the mental health help you need? We've got your back. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442. We'll help you figure out what mental health benefits may be in your health plan. No more confusion, just the support you deserve. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, the guys discussed the Cavaliers after their season ends in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they discussed two key names that the team needs to look at in terms of making moves this offseason.
To me, you need both of them. I don't think Giannis, at this point with his injury concerns, is good enough. They may get out of the East, but playing OKC or the Spurs? Oh, no. You need both. You actually need Giannis because he's athletically a top five player and he's still one of those guys. But you also need the basketball IQ of LeBron James. The thing that I've seen that is lacking the most for the Cavs was the lack of basketball IQ in game one. The lack of basketball adjustments. The lack of, okay, LeBron, when you talk about controlling pace, understanding what you need to do for each and every game, that's what I need from him. I don't need you to score 30 points. What I need you to do is understand what we need to do, what sets we need to, who needs to get the ball, because James Harden at this point in his career is not capable of doing that. That's why there are so many turnovers, the ball in crunch time.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
The Fan. What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
I'm Jeff Hoke.
Only seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender. It's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Neil Sika and Kyle Nuss for being our guests on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine, and we thank you so much for listening. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.